pick up Romans 5, verse 1. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Let's open in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the time we're prepared to spend in your word. We pray that our hearts and minds might be open to receive it, and that it might work effectually in us when we believe. We thank you for each member of your body represented here. Lord, strengthen us as we go forward in reading your word. We pray for the body universal, for all those who may be searching and seeking for answers. We just thank you again for this time, and we just give you thanks in advance for what your word will do in us as we believe. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, we're getting into 5. Any questions on 4 as we left out of there? I know we did, like I said, we were kind of fast getting out of 4. But the principle of justification by faith is what God is bringing forward. And he gives David and Abraham as examples how they received their justification. How they receive it, how we receive it, is the same way they received it. Not just them, but any, as Romans 3 said, any prophet or, it said the law and the prophets, but anybody who's justified, they are justified by faith plus works.
No, not
of works.
See, but the only way you know that is when Paul comes and he says, but now. Nobody knew that as now. They experienced that. Like David. David described the blessedness that he received. But he didn't. That was. Those were exceptions.
One-off cases.
What?
One-off cases.
One-off? You said one-off?
Yeah, exception to the rule.
Oh, okay. One-off cases. No, now I have. Those were one-off cases. Every Israelite couldn't say, I have it too. Or I have it. Or I want it. Or I'm waiting for it. He couldn't say, I tell you what, we're going to the temple. Blake, you got your offering? I'm just going to wait on the blessedness to whom the Lord would not impute sin. What do you think? That's why Paul says, but now the righteousness of God without that requirement is manifested, being witnessed. What was witnessed by the law and the prophets was that they always received the righteousness by faith. He's saying that butt off, that one off, that one off was always on.
Grounded.
They just didn't know. They were shut up unto the faith, which should afterwards be revealed.
Is that why David got his sins not counted against him, because he had such faith and he had a heart after God's own heart?
God, see, I like that. He had a heart after God's own heart. Even though he fell short of what was required, perfect righteousness, God knows the heart. That's why, you know, remember in the Old Testament where Saul made the offering and the Lord told him, don't keep anything. I'm paraphrasing. And he kept the best and he offered a sacrifice.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty good, right?
That's not what God said.
But it's not. Faith would have done what?
What God said.
What was that?
Don't take it.
What would he have done to those people and the animals?
Kill them all.
He would have killed them all. But he says, I'm going to keep the best ones, and I'm going to offer God thanks.
I'll give him 10% of all this.
And you know what he said? What was the answer? What God said? What is I hear? He said, what do I hear? And he said, I can't. You remember? Anybody? Okay. Just hold there. First Samuel. It's let's see here. Yeah, that verse. It's 1 Samuel 15. Let's start at verse 3. I'm just going to jump through here. Well, verse 1. Samuel also said, 1 Samuel 15. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee king, to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus said the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way which he came up from Egypt. Now go and what?
Smite
Amalek and
utterly destroy
all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. That's all, right? Okay, seven. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah unto thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites. What's the next word?
Alive.
Uh-oh.
He took them alive.
And utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. 99%. That's good enough, right? But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they utterly destroyed. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel. Now, we're going to skip that. You can read that again. Skip over to verse 20. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and I have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. He blamed it on the people. Sound like somebody else. Sound like, remember another guy who blamed it on the people?
David. No.
Farther back. He's like, they made me do it.
Oh, Adam
and Eve. Well, he passed the buck to Aaron. Remember Aaron?
Oh, yeah, baby calf.
Yeah.
And just leaked out of fire.
Yeah.
Right. I'm not going to get bogged down. But you know what that is?
Passing the buck.
Romans, that's Romans 2, doing that excusing and accusing. He could have just said, you know what, you're right. I did it. Okay. Verse 22. And Samuel hath said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Now, we'll go back to Romans. When I said that, because I said God knows the heart. And he, without faith, you see it over and over again. It's impossible. Now, some other time, that would have been good to make the offering and the sacrifices. But if God said, this is what I want, utterly destroy, for Saul to keep even one thing, it was a sin. Even though it looked good on the outside. So that's how a Jew could go through the sacrifices and his heart not be right. That's how, when we get up to chapter 9, Paul could say that Israel have not obtained that which he seeketh for.
And the Lord also, in his earthly ministry, talked about the inside and the outside of the cup and the tomb.
They look good. Right. But he said they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. See, he knows, even if you're doing it, he knows if you are doing that in faith. He knew if they were coming to that altar in faith or ritual. That's pretty discerning, isn't it? And let me modern day it. He knows when everybody, this is the day, everybody goes to worship and serve. Right? God knows if it's really the relationship you want or if it's the ritual. It's usher day today. It's choir day. Children's Day, pastor anniversary, chicken selling day, car washing day, whatever, you get it, right? The performance, it's not the relationship. And when we talk about being a witness that is by faith, it's always been by faith. So he used David and Abraham as examples, and he showed how Abraham was not weak in his faith, but he was strong in faith, gave glory to God, was fully persuaded that what God had promised that he was able to perform. And we saw that last week in verse 19. He said he was not weak. Verse 20, he staggered not, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Verse 21, he was fully persuaded that what he had promised, God had promised, he was able also to perform it. And therefore, it, Abraham's faith, it was counted to him for what?
Righteousness.
Right. Faith equals his righteous standing in God's sight. Plus what?
Nothing.
That is what we found out in chapter 4. Is God can impute unto Abraham and David and anybody else who believes, he can impute unto them that righteousness that he required. Simply on the grounds of faith. He said this, that Abraham was fully persuaded, strong in faith, not weak, giving glory to God. He was persuaded that what God promised he was also able to what? Whose performance is it? All you have to do is what? Believe what?
The promises of God.
That he's able to what?
Do what he said.
To do it. Now, he says, now, Paul said, now, why did he write all that, Luke? Was it just to tell you about Abraham and David? How they got imputation?
No, so we can know that it can be imputed to us, too.
He said it was written that it was, verse 24, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we what?
Believe
on him that raised up. Now here's your promise right here. Here's what you are to believe. Is that he was delivered for our what? Offenses. And raised again for our justification. Now, this is the same principle that he just keeps overlapping as we go through. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. He can forgive you for the sins that were past. Not just any sins back then. And he can take care of those shortcomings, sins that you have come in the future. So if he takes care of the past and those in the future, that's pretty much, is it? That is a, you have a position now of righteousness. That's why when Paul said in 2 Corinthians, we looked at it last week, that he who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We might be made. How do you think you're made righteous? Through that process right there. All you have to do is what?
Believe.
That changes your position in God's sight. That's strange, isn't it? Now, that's a temporary position. We know that, right? What? You didn't mean that, did you?
No.
Okay. That's a permanent position.
Eternal.
Now, that's why we get to chapter 5, and he says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have it. We have it. That is the current position. You go from ungodly and enemies to a righteous son and heir in God's sight. That position has changed. And he says, therefore, being justified by faith, that's how you get the peace. Peace with God. That's a preposition. Do you know people that are justified and have a position and have peace with God could go and not have the peace of God?
So,
do you know that people who could be pronounced righteous by God, because that's by faith, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they go through, after they are trusting Christ, and that position gives them peace with God. But those same people could be saved, justified, sanctified, imputed righteousness, and they can go through life and not have the peace of God.
Because you're not walking in your identity.
Now, she said carnal Christians.
Not knowing
the truth.
Okay. Well,
yeah. Yeah, you can say that they could be babes.
Or they could just be deceived.
Right. Which is, and I will say, most times, a carnal Christian, most times, his level of understanding is not there.
Yeah.
So he operates on his own
ignorance of his own mind.
And, yeah. Right. And he operates, here you go, Blake, you might. He operates on his own imagination.
His own
image. He won't have the, you know, when Paul said in Philippians, he said, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are good report, whatsoever things are honest, et cetera, et cetera. He says, think on
these.
And he said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made. And he said, and you'll have peace with God.
The peace of God.
He said, you'll have the peace, what?
Of God.
That'll keep your
heart and mind Christ Jesus.
You believe that?
Mm-hmm. It's my life first.
that's now when Paul gets through that, he's the one. You know when he's writing that letter? When he's writing that letter, and he gets to that verse toward the end of Philippians, he's still in jail. In jail, talking about the peace of God.
He really
has it done. In jail.
In the stocks.
And he says, it's okay with me. It's okay with me because I've learned something. I learned how to be abased. What does abased mean?
Ooh.
And I learned how to what?
Ow.
Having fun.
You know what he said, Johnny? He said, I've been at the steak table. And I've been hungry. And in both of those situations, guess what? I still have the peace of God. I always have peace with God. But I've learned that whatever state I'm in, I can still have the peace of God. How could he do that? How could he say that?
He was the maturest of the mature.
He was mature, yeah. But how could he say that? How does that maturity come?
Faith.
Faith.
Studying.
Studying. When he says
experience, he went through
that. What?
Experience.
Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to come back to that. Just before we go, that Romans 3, that propitiation, that's through Jesus Christ. When he talks about through Jesus Christ, it's always through his performance.
Say it again.
It's always through his performance.
No, what you said leading up to that.
When you talk about through Jesus Christ, in Christ, through Christ, by Christ, of Christ, it's always, we talked about this last week when me and Johnny was talking about this. Paul says it sometimes, several times. He'll use that phrase, the faith of Christ. Is how what God required, Christ has fulfilled. What God wants, is in his Son. And his Son passes that on to us. We receive it. It's unto
all,
but
upon all them that believe.
That's how you get it. And you say, well, that's what it means. He said, I'm in Christ. What? That's what it means. I'm in Christ. That is, now that it's upon me, the identification process is complete. What do you mean? That means when God sees his Son, I'm associated, identified with his Son. Because God knows that I'm trusting his Son for the results, for the standing, for the position. I'm not working for it, to prove it. I'm not working to get it. I'm not working to prove I have it. The only way I work is because I do have it. And I want to please him. Okay? He says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have, by whom, by Christ, we have access. Access by what? We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. I'll put this up here. Rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Did you know that? Once you, very basic. Did you know when you got saved, when you talk about the carnal believer, he says when you get saved, you got access into this grace. And you have hope in the glory of God. He said, wow, that's great. What does it mean? When you say access into this grace, you know what is he talking about? Access, we know what access is, right? It's availability, privilege, access in. It's on the table for you. Into this grace. There we go again. It's a position that you're in.
Worship, sir.
You have, there you go. See, yeah. It's, you have an opportunity now to do what? Now you're able to do it. You got, here's the position. Into this grace. Wherein we stand and rejoice in hope, that is the expectation of the glory of God. What is that? That
Is able to perform based on what the grace is, what he promised, and that expectation is that he was also able to perform.
Oh, I thought.
I was drawing a parallel to that other verse.
So.
Resurrection.
Okay, and that's what I said. Is it the body, the glory of God? Is that just the body being changed? Now, this is what. That's part of it. It's the
inheritance.
Yes, it's the realization of the position that you have.
But isn't it more like the belief that you will get that position?
It's not just the belief that you. Yeah, it's the belief that you. Yeah, it's not like this. To tie in what Karen said, when he tied in to the belief that he was going to have a son. Did he doubt it?
No.
He did after the fact. After he said he did,
he doubted it early on, didn't he?
Yeah.
No.
But when we just read the passage where Abraham, who against hope,
believed in hope.
And what do you mean against hope, believed in hope?
Even though
he looked at the natural, even though all natural signs said what? It's not possible. The supernatural, which is faith in God, the supernatural, he said that I'm not weak in faith. Matter of fact, I'm strong in faith. I'm fully persuaded, giving glory to God, that what he promised, that he's able to perform it. Right? Now, being justified by faith, we have peace with God, access into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope, expectation of the glory of God. This is on a sports show. He quoted. He said, "Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die." You ever heard that expression? Why is the expectation the disconnect so great between that great expectation and you actually getting there? Let me say it another way. If you're so excited about going to heaven, why are you so scared about dying?
Pain is generally the thought.
Because your faith is not strong. Enough.
Because Because you're not
fully persuaded.
You're not fully persuaded. You know what Paul said this? He said, according to my Philippians, hold your hand, Romans 5. Philippians 2.
And not only what Johnny said, but I think there's ignorance of what it is. Because, like, I've heard my children say, well, golly, when they were little, it's like, well, I've never been married before, and I hadn't experienced that relationship. I don't want to go before that. In other words, it's like they're not. There's the perspective is not there.
There's that doubt again. There's that doubt.
Or fear they're going to miss out on this experience before that.
Experience is nothing.
None.
Experience is nothing if we believe that there's something else. But if we don't really believe that, then this experience is all there is.
That's right. See, when Paul was writing to the Corinthians, and they were questioning the resurrection. And he said, wait a minute. He said, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you there's no resurrection?
If we have hope in this life only,
we're of all men, and not rather, as they say, let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow he said, but there is a resurrection. And he said this, be careful, evil communications corrupt good manners. Oh, evil communications corrupt good manners. Your state. And he says, therefore, dearly beloved, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. In the Lord, I erased it. In the Lord is, you realize, if one died for all, and the life that I now live, I live by the
faith of the Son of God.
By the
faith of the Son of God who loved me.
There it is again. By the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That Christ, he said, Paul said this, Christ died that he could be, should be, wants to be, I'm adding that on, Lord of the living and the dead. That's all, right?
Right, yeah.
Paul said this. Note it. He said, Lord of the living and the dead. Philippians 1:20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, again, Johnny, that's Paul. That ain't us. He said, for to me. You will quote that verse, don't we?
Yeah.
And then we even jump over to chapter 4. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. You got it on the plaque, on your refrigerator, on your keychain. And I can do all things, but die. I can do all things, but suffer. He means I can get all things. He ain't meaning what he's quoting.
Yeah, don't understand what he's quoting.
I could do all things.
Because evil communication.
So Paul said, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet, he said, if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. What does he mean? This, when he's saying this is the fruit of my labor, where is he?
In the race.
In the flesh.
Well, he's in the race, in the flesh, in the jail. He said, this is what I, if I hang around, this is what I get. If I hang around.
But he loves suffering for Christ. Because he wants to be at one with Christ's suffering or something.
To fill up that.
See, you know what? I'm back where Johnny said. Now, it's all
super duper.
No, it's not just. He could know what is in store. Right?
Yeah.
That's faith, knowing what God wants.
Super duper faith.
But super duper faith. Look, faith is the noun. Super duper, if you want to say, super duper faith is putting the ing on it.
Yeah.
See, you know what? I don't know about that verb stuff, Luke. I can talk about the noun all day. Oh, it's not only given to believe on him, but to suffer for his name. You have to suffer for his name, Blake. Give it all to the Lord. But when it comes to the ing part, you're like, whoa. I didn't mean me.
I just signed up for that.
They think they're doing something wrong because they're suffering.
See, that's where...
That's that little communication.
Yeah, that's when you're doing it right.
That's where the faith comes in at.
On the end of that verse, though.
Okay.
Yet what I shall choose, I want not.
Yeah.
What he's saying, like, what he chose what he chose, what he shouldn't want.
He said, now.
But he chose it, though.
He said, now, what I, that word, he says, what I choose, I want. That's no.
Yeah.
He said, what I choose, he says, he's saying, I really don't know what I want to pick. Now, he said, I really don't know what I want to choose. He said, I can depart or I can stay.
More profitable for the people he was teaching.
I can depart. And rest, I can stay
and suffer.
But he wanted to stay.
No.
Build him up.
He wanted to stay. Why?
Because he loved him. And that was one.
I want to leave.
Because he loves the Lord.
But I want to stay.
Because he loves the people.
Now. What would the image do, Blake?
Stay.
Oh, never. Not
now, he says, let's see what happened here. He says, for I am in a strait between two, having a desire to be with Christ, to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, not my will. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you.
Which is the mind of Christ. He's exercising that mind of Christ.
Well, you got. He says to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, what confidence?
What the Lord had told him.
No, stay with the context. He said, having this confidence, that I will abide in the flesh. He said, I will. Because, you know, if he left, it's all about, it'd be about him, wouldn't it?
Yeah, taking away his suffering.
Yeah. And sure. Yeah, I'm going to depart, be with Christ. It's great.
Is it good?
He says, but to abide in the flesh, it's more needful for you. And he said, and you know what? And I think that's exactly what's going to happen.
And that is the attitude of being part of the body versus the other is it's all about me.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Just to emphasize that, I don't say part of the body. That is a, when I say an image thought, that is a person who's had sincere desire for worship and service and to honor the Father. His mind is going to be God first, then you, then him, then him.
Oh, that's for you.
Oh, that's the
That's why when Jenny said love for study, I mean, love really fits that more than, like, even though you love the Lord, it's selfish.
Just the easy way out,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
When he called Paul, he says, I will show him how great things
he must suffer from my sake. So, the right side would be charity.
Yes.
Exactly.
That's so, I give my body to be burned and I do all this, but I have not charity.
He said, it profit me nothing, not them. Now, okay, back to Romans 5. So, we have access into this grace and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And like Johnny said, it's you, that after the grave deal. Yes, I'm not really sure about that. I'm not. Romans said that we rejoice in hope. That's expectation of that position.
For what we see, what do we hope for?
Right. We rejoice in hope of that until he tells you how you get to it.
Instructions.
Or to get to it, you have to go through it. See, you know what? He says, we have access, amen, by faith into this grace. Oh, glory to God. And rejoice in hope. Yes. Preach. And then he says, we hope, rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Right? Everybody with him, right? The choir is rocking. The next verse. And not only so, yeah, come on, Pastor, but we glory
in tribulation.
Oh, wait a minute.
I know, Sam.
Yeah, you know what? Now it's quiet now. We rejoice in tribulations, huh? Knowing that's it, Johnny. Knowing that tribulation works. What's tribulation anyway? What is tribulation?
Difficulties, hardships,
suffering.
Whatever that looks like, right? It's whatever it.
And it's hard to call anything that you go through tribulation when you read what Paul went through.
See, and those are why the things are written.
But didn't God give him extra grace, more grace than he did? Didn't he? I mean, he raised him from the dead one time, it seemed like.
She said, okay, he was an apostle. So I'll give you that. She said, did God give Paul extra grace?
Well, doesn't it Paul talk about the measure of grace as God has given to, or was it the measure of faith?
Now he was an apostle.
Well, going back to also the fact that he had the revelation, and just that is more grace than your average person is going to get.
Yeah.
Right.
God is not fixing to appear to Joe Blow and be like, hey, like this. And because if he did, you wouldn't have any doubts about it.
Yeah, Paul's caught the third heaven.
Now, see, this is good. This is good. That's good questions. Now, here's the deal. Ephesians 4.
I wonder if it was a certain amount of grace to keep him alive, to get the message out.
There you go.
But as far as suffering,
it all goes together. It all goes together. You're absolutely right.
That's the verse I was talking about. about Ephesians 4:7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ.
Yes, that's not what the one I wanted, though.
But does that mean it's almost like you get, some people might need more than...
Yeah, what kind of people would need more?
It's equipping.
Yes, what kind of people would need more? Apostles, maybe?
Oh, yeah. See?
Prophets?
Yeah.
Teachers would need more? Pastors and teachers? Evangelists? Think they would need more?
No, it's the other way around.
It's individual. That's, yeah.
No. Listen, as this is being formulated, when I say this, as the message is being preached, as it's being propagated, mm-hmm. as the word is being compiled.
Well, I guess I can see like the people higher up in the chain who, really believe that they're given more to help them do more because their position's higher.
Yes.
In a way, but then some guy who's, nobody, he might need a little more than like me or vice versa. So I can look at it both ways, I guess.
Let me see. Let's read the verse. This verse may explain itself. We start where Karen left off. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Now he's using an example of this military conquest. When a conquering hero goes in, he'll conquer the captives or the captors.
The captors and make them now.
And he'll conquer the captors, take the captives,
and free them.
And take the captors captive. So he's leading out both. He's spoiling the captors.
And he's
freeing the captives, and in the conquering Luke, he gives the captives some of the spoil. That's why he says he filled all things. In this case, the things that the Lord is filling are the heavenly positions. Okay, he says now. So what he did for the captives, he gave some, what? Apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers.
For the perfecting and all that to equip us to fill those positions that are being vacated.
How do you get equipped?
By the word, the edification, God's word, understanding truth.
You get equipped by faith, which is when you use that faith, he calls it the measure of grace. Okay, you said I don't get that. Okay, watch this.
So your faith grows the more you understand, the more you comprehend, the more it becomes, more the words on the page, but it becomes reality. It becomes your walk. It becomes putting on the mind of Christ so that now his thinking is your thinking.
Yes. Now watch the next verses. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, right? Unto the unity of the faith
and of the knowledge
of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You say, well, wait a minute. That's a whole lot. I don't understand that. We're just pretend like this here. This is that's the Christ vessel, right? And in this vessel, there's a fullness, right? There's a fullness. Right? And he says, till we all come into the unity of the faith, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is a... there's a certain capacity that exists in here, right? It's able to hold so much. That's the stature. Say this, just say it's a... I'm just using this for clarification. This is a 1 gallon Christ. Okay? 100%. Right. Yeah. Okay. So we know that the stature is... it'll contain 100%. Right? The... and when it reaches that 100%, it's what?
Full.
It's full. And when it's in that capacity, it has reached its measure. Right? All these things are talking about right now. It's talking about the capacity. How much it holds, how much it contains, even how much is available to give out.
It's almost like once everybody that's going to get saved
gets saved. No, not
the rest of the Gentiles.
Well, in that sense, yes. But he's saying this: until we all come into the unity of the faith, the unity of the faith, the unity of the unity of faith, that is really just the doctrine. We know that. That one doctrine affects the fullness, the stature, and the measure that each one has. Those apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, They were given pieces of this faith. That's what an apostle does, isn't it? What does he give out? What is he sent to do?
Whatever God tells him to do.
It's faith. A prophet, what is he sent to do?
He validates what
faith.
Yeah.
What does an evangelist do? He goes and preaches what? The faith. What do pastors and teachers do? They equip the saints by faith. They wouldn't be all the same because they're different. Right?
But they're all working with the same.
Look, Corinthians, he said, are they all apostles? You'd have to say what?
No.
Are they all prophets?
No.
No. Are they all teachers? No. Well, don't tell me they're the same. So they're each given a what? They're given a measure. Romans, he said this: he that teacheth, let him
teach.
Wait on teaching. Wait on it. Let him prophesy. Let him prophesy according to the measure of faith. That is, what do you have in you? Remember that little commercial where it says,
got milk?
You don't want milk.
So when you get to around, when you get to saints and you're looking to grow, you'd be bad. You should ask this question.
Got doctrine?
And that doctrine should be, better be, rightly divided. Mm-hmm. And if he says, yeah, I got some, but it's mosaic.
Yeah.
You say, oh, that's spoiled milk.
That's expired.
Can't use that. Now, back to 13. Till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Notice, of the what? The knowledge of the Son of God unto a what?
Perfect man, mature.
Look, so as you get to know Christ, what do you get to know? As you grow in knowledge, you grow in
perfection.
That too?
Fullness. Completeness.
Maturity.
Yeah. What does that mean, Blake? As you learn and grow in Christ and your stature increases, your fullness increases, your measure increases, your knowledge increases, your perfection increases, your you grow and grow and grow. You're transformed into what?
The image of Christ.
There you go.
Not a baby anymore.
There you go. You're growing and growing. And it's all because of the faith, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's synonymous. Titus says this, that it's the doctrine that's according to godliness. That is, this doctrine, Titus says, when you get it, it promotes godliness. It promotes maturity. It promotes perfection. It promotes your knowledge. It increases your fullness, your stature, the measure.
In 2 Timothy 3:16-17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and that's let the man of God may be perfect.
Perfect.
It's the scripture that was accumulating and different people had.
There you go. It's all given. And when it's given, you got it, right? Mm-hmm. And when you got it, you grow,
you give it.
You use it. Right? That's what he said to Timothy, that this doctrine is able to make thee wise unto salvation. Wait a minute. He's talking to a saved man. He's telling the saved man that this doctrine will save you.
No, he's not talking about salvation from sins. He's talking about salvation from bad doctrine.
Not just tribulation, works patience, experience hope, and hope make it not ashamed. Listen, when it'll save you from a lot of things other than your position salvation.
Heresy.
Yes. Now.
Being swayed by every wind of doctrine.
That's the next verse. He says, now, 14, that we henceforth be no more children. 4:14, that we be henceforth no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up, remember, into him in all things. Which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. What do you think that is that every joint supplieth?
Grace,
faith. Carry it out. Knowledge, keep going, carry it out. How do you get, how, grace, they're all synonymous. The grace, faith, doctrine. Knowledge, what?
Doctrine.
Doctrine. That's what every joint supplies. When I just said, you, when you meet somebody, you better ask them what?
Doctrine. It is a spoil.
If he says, I got 2%.
2%.
You know what? I'll take it.
It's milk. A place to build up.
Yeah.
I'll take it. 1%. Do they make 1% milk? Skim milk. I got skim. I'll take it. I got vitamin D milk. I'll take it. As long as it's, if I can process it, I can use it. When I say, look. Now, right. He may not know as much as you know. So, you know what? He's got.
You can supply him with some of your doctrine.
He got two. But he has some.
Right.
You can help fill up his.
That's. And he says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the
measure
of every part. The effectual working of the measure. That is the effectual working of the measure. Here's the guy, he said, well, this guy, you meet him and he only has 2% capacity.
No, he has the full capacity. He just
2% measure. Yeah, 2% measure. And you say, oh, I can't use you, man. Forget about it.
You know what? Him to increase his.
Okay, but goal. You take what?
You got what you got to work on it.
You take what? If he had 2% to give, what?
You take the 2%.
That's what Paul, and he used that body concept in Corinthians. He said, just because I'm hand, don't say I'm no good. Or I'm the foot, I'm no good. Or I'm not the eye, then I'm nothing. I'm not the foot. He said, look, what's your capacity? I got 2%. Give it.
Because the word of God, which effectually worketh in you that believe. So
that's
First Thessalonians.
Now, what if I'm 98%, Luke? And that 2% you got, that's what I need.
Right.
And you're like, they don't need my 2%. So I'll go on and on and on. Missing that 2%. Then Jenny comes along. She said, well, you know what? I'll skim. And you're like, okay, go ahead. Give me the skim. And that adds another part to me. Then another guy comes. He said, yeah, well, this almond milk or whatever it is.
Soy milk.
Matter of fact, I just thought about that. The example is good because milk is always what? In Scripture, milk is doctrine. He said, desire the sincere milk of the word that you might grow thereby. Yeah, so you grow up, and he says this. It's the measure, the effectual working in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That it edifies, it's the body edifies itself. You know, the believers, this is a living organism. So wherever you are, if you go, you got a measure. And what you should be seeking to do is increase your measure. So you could bottle it up and store it.
So you can have something to give
in love that will edify the body member.
It would be so much easier if everybody walked around with a little percent sign above their head.
No, because what you would do if you saw that, you'd be like,
he's got more than me.
Yeah, see, and not realizing that that's the 2% that you neglected, that's what you need. And you were like, well, I got that 2%.
It's not the same 2%. Yeah.
See, that's not in love. That's in partiality.
Okay.
Now, to finish this out, he says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." Now, he's telling the Ephesians, he says, I'm writing to you to show you the difference is what your role is as a body member and in relation to the perfecting and edifying and ministry work and how your measure affects that. And he says, I'm saying that so you won't waste your time living like you used to live, like other Gentiles. Is you spend a whole lifetime empty. He called it the vanity. Instead of using your body for worship and service, you're using it for monkey shine and foolishness.
For your own self.
He says, I'm telling you that so you won't live like the other Gentiles live.
Get over yourself.
Right, you can say it that way.
Hey, I got a question for you after prayer. I mean, I don't want to draw it out, but it's kind of in line with this.
Okay. Now, this actually is it relates to Romans 5 because when you have that access into this grace, is you're available for a measure that God can use you. He can use you now, because the content of that vessel, as Paul said, is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The expectation of glory.
Confident
expectation of glory. That is the inheritance. Is when you know what? When I get there, that's why Paul said this. I said that's the end. When he said in Ephesians, he said this. I'm praying now for saints that they might know what is the hope of their calling. Like Johnny said, if you don't. You don't know what it's like, so you have no interest.
So the hope of the calling is that motivation. It's that desire, dislike the Lord, not my will, but thy will.
None of us here knows what it's like. You said it. What a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? We spend our whole life, and you said this a few weeks ago, blessed are they who have not seen and believe. Now, we go through this whole life talking about how great it is to be with the Lord, how great heaven's going to be. But we live like there's no such thing as heaven. Because we're not looking. We don't have that earnest expectation to labor here Like he says, you're laboring here in anticipation.
Yeah, we're focused on the nasty now and now.
It's like telling the before you got into graduate school, it's like telling Luke, hey, sixth grader, you really need to study. It's going to pay off when you get to be in that position. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Seventh grade, you know, you really need to be studying this. Yeah, I know, yeah. Ninth grade, you really need to be studying. Yeah, I know, yeah. Tenth grade, you really need to be studying. Ah, I got it. 11th grade, 12th grade. Now at the last minute, he's scrambling. Oh, I should have took these courses. I should have did this. And then he gets out there and he's not prepared. And they said, what program do you want to be in? What program are you in?
Medicine.
He said, I want to be internal medicine. What, did you take all these prerequisites? I never heard whether there'd be any prerequisites. They're going to say, great, come on in. We're just the guy we want.
Like some of the doctors I went to.
What do you think they're going to tell him?
See ya.
See you when you get out of college.
Say, I got a favor.
Right.
Come on in.
Right. Right. They're going to say, get thee far hence. Okay, let's stop. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the time that we spent reading. We pray that we would go over these things that reinforce the doctrine that has been shown. And we just thank you again for the time that we spent sharing your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
So we're going to pick up.